get ready for the Wrestling Archives WrestleMania 40 preview show.
Hello again, everybody. Welcome to the Wrestling Archives Podcast. I'm your co-host, Tim Hackman.
And I'm your co-host, Rich Sigwald.
Welcome. We're happy to be here with you. We always have a good time recording, talking about wrestling. We hope you caught our recent episode on a little recap, look back at WrestleMania 30. A little bit of an overblown event with a real bummer right in the middle of it.
I wouldn't even say it's at the middle. It's at, like, you know, that whole, like, golden ratio, like, beauty, like, thing. Like, it's the inverse of that. Like, right where you should be hitting your sweet, beautiful spot, that show hits the biggest, downing, depressing, air sucking out of the building moment you've ever seen at a WrestleMania.
It just shits on all your feelings. Right. But you should still listen to our recap, which is better than watching it, I would say.
Yeah, I would almost say that, like, it's... Imagine if WrestleMania 1 and Hulk Hogan and Mr. T lost. That's that's the kind of energy that's getting generated in that moment, so...
Deep. It's deep. Yeah. So anyway. So we're going to, you know, as you may or may not know, we started off our life as a podcast, as all the WrestleManias, and we still have a sweet... a spot for the WrestleManias, the so-called Super Bowl of wrestling, the Indy 500 of wrestling.
I prefer to call it the Daytona 500 of wrestling, because it's like WrestleMania, like Daytona is like the biggest NASCAR race, but it's the kickoff to the season. And really, WrestleMania is the biggest WWE event of the year, but it really kicks off the next year of storylines and normally brings resolution to the previous year's stuff. I kind of like to think of it more like the Daytona 500, but, you know, that's just
nerding out. That's a good analogy. And I think some of the storylines we'll see here have been in the mix, you know, brewing since last WrestleMania for sure, for at least one of them. You know, the WWE still does some of that old long-term storytelling, so we'll definitely see some of that come to a head. But that's coming up this weekend, April 6th and 7th, live from the City of Brotherly Love, Philadelphia. Not my favorite city, but I know you have some connections there, so I'm not going to shit on it too much. I don't want your wife to beat me up, mostly.
I've had fun on all our trips to Philadelphia, so, I mean...
There's lots of fun history stuff. Good food city, actually, surprisingly good.
Yeah, it's a good food city. Yeah, so. For sure. When my wife and I first started dating, she's like, there isn't much to do in Philadelphia except for eating. Okay. And then it's like, yeah, that's kind of right. Like, yeah, you see the Liberty Bell once, you see Independence Hall once. Yeah. You know, and I'm a history guy. I love history. And it's just like, I don't really need to see Independence Hall again or the Liberty Bell again, but I need to have another cheesesteak from Campos. That's what I do need.
Well, no, where did Devontae say the best one was when we had him on the show?
He loves Delisandro's out in the rough part of town there, as people say.
Check out that episode for a good talk with a Philly guy. Hopefully he'll be in town. Yeah. He's probably off working. That guy's always working. So
yeah, we in that episode we talked for about 10 minutes about wrestling and 35 minutes about food.
Hey, you know what? I'm okay with it.
Yeah, it was fine.
Launching our new podcast, the Wrestling and Food Archives. Yeah, welcome. So anyway, but yeah, we're not insiders, as we've said before. We're fans, we're wrestling buffs, we're wrestling history buffs, so we often try to look at stuff through a lens of, you know, where things have been in the past and where wrestling is going. But, you know, for the fun of it, we thought we would do, like we've done the last couple years, which is just offer our quick picks on WrestleMania 40, what to watch out for, what we think might be fun, what we might think might be kind of crappy, where you might want to take your bathroom breaks, you know, those kinds of things. Are you planning to watch live, or are you going to watch it on the Peacock later? What's the plan?
Well, as you know, I opted to go to Ohio for WrestleMania weekend instead of actually going to WrestleMania, because we're going to try and see the eclipse. And I'm kind of angry right now because current weather predictions are calling for it to be cloudy eclipse day. But, you know, it's still some time off that you know, you can't trust weather predictions. So we're hoping that, you know, something will change in there in the mix. But also, I'm still glad I didn't buy tickets to WrestleMania, because it's just so freaking expensive. And yeah. I don't see it being worth that money. Everybody says, oh, it's so worth it. And like, I don't see it.
Yeah.
I don't see, especially now that it's in like massive football stadiums, and like the most I would be able to afford is in the upper deck nosebleeds, or like I'm still closer to my car than I am to the ring kind of seat, where I'm just going to watch it on the big screen anyway in the stadium and be cold because it's early April in Philadelphia, as opposed to like comfortably on a couch streaming with free snacks.
And your clean bathroom just steps away.
Yeah.
Don't forget that part.
Yeah.
I would consider it if it were sort of in a destination city, you know, a place I really wanted to go and spend a long weekend. And again, no offense to Philadelphia, but that ain't it, you know. I don't know what the next... And last year in, what was it, Tampa? Like, that ain't it either. Yeah. Like, come on, guys.
I think they're looking at Minneapolis for next year, so...
That might be all right. Might be a little cold.
Yeah, but, I mean, that's a dome at least, so yeah, be indoors. That's
true. You know, I've never been.
Yeah, neither have I. I was actually talking to my wife about this when I made the ultimate decision not to buy tickets for WrestleMania 40, and... I am surprisingly close to retirement at this point, because I've been in the pension system for almost 20 years at this point.
Really?
So I have. I joined the pension like when I became working in a public library branch in 2006. So I'm like 11 years away from being able to retire from the state with full benefits.
Holy shit.
So,
how is this possible when you were only 26 years old?
I know. So, exactly. I'll be like 40 when I retire. It'd be great.
You'll have your whole life ahead of you. Yeah.
But at that point, my child will also be like 12 or 13 years old, and hopefully maybe watching wrestling with me, and will be like, well, you know what? Papa's retired. Papa's got some pension money. Let's go to WrestleMania together and just do it, you know.
You're gonna be the new green shirt guy.
Yeah, hopefully. That's the plan.
Be in all the programmings. Well, that'd be cool.
I'll wear a pink shirt.
Yeah.
And I'll have my child wear like a yellow shirt, because he loves the color yellow. And so we'll sit right next to green shirt guy.
Yeah.
We'll have green, pink, and yellow right there.
It'll be like
maybe
Easter
you can
weekend.
Join us in blue. You can join us in blue.
That sounds good. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I'm not going anywhere for the eclipse, but next, which week is this? Yeah, next week, Thursday, Friday, and coming back Saturday, just in time for WrestleMania. I am going out to West Virginia, to Point Pleasant, West Virginia, to visit the home of the Mothman and the Mothman Museum. I'm super excited about this. There's all kinds of weird little like roadside museums and stuff in West Virginia on the way. I'm going to visit the Bigfoot Museum. There's a... Oh, what's the other one? There's a Flatwoods Monster Museum. It's about some monster alien sighting in the late 60s. And spoiler alert, it was an owl. But I don't care. I'm still going to the museum. But I'm mostly excited about the Mothman. So hopefully, if I don't get kidnapped by the Mothman, I will be back in time to watch the program. And we'll probably watch it live on the Peacock. My wife is sufficiently into wrestling at this point that she will tolerate two full nights of WrestleMania. So I'm a lucky, lucky man.
Nice.
Yeah.
You know, years ago, my wife and I went on a road trip, and we passed this road thing. It was in Pennsylvania, I think, and it was something like Uncle Eddie's Elephant Museum and Candy Shop or something like that. Some sort of.
I know where that is. I know where that is.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. So that name, I'm pretty close on the name then.
Uncle Ed's, I think.
Yeah.
It's over by Gettysburg, right?
Not too far from Gettysburg? I think. And we pulled in and we saw like a dilapidated elephant statue, and we were really disappointed at that point. We're just like, we're not getting out of the car. We're going to die here. And got back on the highway. Maybe that was on our way to Falling Water, maybe, or something like that.
Yeah, that would be on the way.
It was not a good thing, and we were we felt kind of lucky that we got out of there with our lives, even though we never got out of the car. Yeah. I do want to stop at the Uranus Fudge Factory.
Oh shit!
I don't know if you've ever seen the TV commercials or the internet ads for them.
No.
So I want to say it's in Ohio, possibly, but like they do these ads that are like the best fudge comes from Uranus and stuff like
that. Oh yeah, it's right here. Welcome to Uranus. The best fudge comes from Uranus.
Yes.
Free standard shipping on orders over $75.
Yeah, I just want to stop by it at one point on a trip.
Where is it? Where is it? Let's see here. they have a thing that pop up to their newsletter. It says they won't share your email. It says what happens in Uranus stays in Uranus.
I hope so.
St. Robert, Missouri, Anderson, Indiana. Those are the two.
That's where I think I saw the one, because I went to visit cousins out in Indiana. Yeah. So, anyways, that's my big roadside trip that I want to do one day.
Mr. Ed's Elephant Museum and Candy Emporium is in Ortana, PA, which is on Chambersburg Road, which is Route 30, which is one of the old school cross country routes east west.
Lincoln Highway.
Yep, I think it's between like Chambersburg and Gettysburg. So when I went to school in Shippensburg, and when I would drive back and forth to York, we would sometimes come across 30 just because it was just something different. And we would go past Mr. Ed's. It's actually not as scary on the inside as it is on the outside. So anyway, Mr. Ed's, send us some sponsorship money, would you? We're trying to.
And Uranus.
We're trying to feed our families over here on peanuts and candy. Ain't happening. All right, let's talk about WrestleMania before everybody tunes out and jumps off a bridge. So we were going with CBS Sports rundown of the card, and we're recording here Friday the 29th, so we're, you know, a week and a day out, so not, you know, there'll be some things that pop up on SmackDown tonight and Raw and SmackDown next week, but this should be most of the matches. And I'm going to start at the bottom of the card as CBS Sports has it listed, and these are ones that we don't have a night for just yet, so that, you know, there's two nights of WrestleMania because that's necessary. And these matches will be plugged in there. So the first one on here is LA Knight versus AJ Styles. I guess there's some heat about some professional jealousy going on here, I think, is the main storyline between these two. What do you think? I don't know. Good workers, fun guys to watch, I think.
Yeah, I think this match has the potential of stealing the show on whatever night it's on.
Yeah.
Hopefully it's opposite of the Gunther match, whatever. So, like, if this is night one, I hope Gunther's on night two. This is the moment for LA Knight to get put over and step up, in my opinion. So, it is time for him to take the next step. And AJ Styles, who's kind of on his way out-ish, kind of. I mean, he's still a big name, big-time guy. But... you know, I think he's a little bit past his prime at this point. So I think it's time for AJ Styles to put LA Knight over and send LA Knight to the top. Put him in that next rung, you know?
Yeah, I agree. Two fun guys in the ring. Both of them can really work. AJ's, you know, he's getting up there, like you said, but he hasn't lost very much in the ring. He was never a phenomenal talker, and so, you know, LA Knight's got the edge on him in that regard. But that might be a fun one. So I hope, like you said, I hope he put LA Knight over and he kind of continues. They have to set up a good feud with him next and maybe on his way to a belt of some sort.
Yeah.
The next one here is not quite complete yet. It's the Undisputed WWE Tag Team Championship match. It's a six-pack ladder match, again, because that's necessary. So far, we've got four of the six teams. We've got Judgment Day, who are the current champions, versus DIY. Is that... Who the hell is that? Is that Miz and...
No. I'm not sure.
That's Austin Theory and... I don't fucking know. Who is that?
Waller? Waller?
Grayson Waller and Austin Theory. Is that DIY?
Maybe.
We're Googling live, folks. That's all
oh,
right.
Oh, it's Johnny Gargano and Tommaso Ciampa.
Oh, God. Nobody cares. Versus the New Day versus the Awesome Truth, which is Miz and... what's his face? The Miz and... R-Truth.
That's an interesting pairing.
Yeah. Street Profits. There's four teams left in the thing here for the last two spots. There's New Catch Republic, Legado del Fantasma, the Street Profits, and Austin Theory and Grayson Waller. I don't know that I care. Do you see them taking the belt off the Judgment Day, I guess, is the key question.
That is a good question. When they do a mix like this and it's so unclear about who might be shooting to the top of the food chain, I feel like they're not going to take it off of the Judgment Day.
Yeah, I'm with you. Well, and the fact that nobody, with the exception of the Street Profits, who still aren't in yet, they still have one more match to go. None of these is an actual tag team. Well, that's not true. The New Day is. The others are just random people put together. So that's not a good sign.
No. Yeah, I mean, Austin Theory and Grayson Waller kind of been together. And, you know, I like Johnny Gargano and I like Tommaso Ciampa. I don't see them working together very well for some reason, though. But I could, you know... I think New Day, or not New Day, Judgment Day. There's so many days in this thing. I think Judgment Day is just going to hold on to it. No one's moving.
Yeah. We need a tag team called Bad Day. I would like that. But like, yeah. You're about to have a bad day.
Oh.
Huh? Cold, right? That'd be tough.
Yeah.
I like it. All right. Next one is the Bloodline Torn Asunder. This is the Mega Powers Collide. For lack of a better phrase. This is Jimmy Uso versus Jey Uso. They've been obviously on the outs since the Bloodline split. They split up from the Bloodline a little while back. You know, there's Jey is sort of the guy who's kind of risen to the top in terms of being over, but you know, Jimmy's got some feelings about that. I don't know what's going to happen. I mean, it's been interesting to me to see. I watch more of this than you do, I think, at this point. I think that's fair to say. So it's been interesting to see Jey really come into his own as a solo talent and to see the people really respond to him. Like, they've really... it helps that he has something they can chant, which the people always love. Even if it's something nonsensical like yeet. But...
yeet?
Yeet. But he's been hot lately. What's going to happen?
I don't know. I mean, this is always the next step in a tag team's evolution is when they break apart and fight each other. The Hardys, the Briscoes, you know, Bret and Owen Hart, you know, all those kinds of things. You know, whenever the pairings or the brothers are sparring, that's always the next step in their storytelling. And the Usos are no different. Yeah, I feel like I'll go out on a limb here. I follow Rikishi's social media. Rikishi's going to be in town at WrestleMania.
Uh-oh.
Jey's going to win. Or Jimmy is going to be standing in a position that he could really, really, really hurt Jey. And he's going to get talked out of doing it. And doing so loses the match. And Jey and Jimmy will get yelled at and reconcile, possibly.
Okay.
At the end of the match.
I could see Solo Sikoa trying to interfere on Jimmy's behalf and maybe Rikishi comes in with the save. I don't know. I would pop for that.
Yeah. Yeah, that would be pretty incredible. Like, Rikishi just comes in, puts his foot down. What you doing, yeah. Uso? You know, so yeah. That'd be kind of fun. I'd be down for that.
Yeah, that would be awesome. He wouldn't give his own son a stink face, would you? You think?
I wouldn't put it past him, but I also know that, like, he is his lower body is not in good enough shape to really probably do much action. But because if you meet him, he doesn't even stand up for pictures with him and stuff like that, because he just really can't do that a lot. So, yeah. I think that's how it goes. Either Jimmy's going to be in a position to really hurt Jay. Jimmy's going to get talked out of it, possibly by Rikishi, and Jay ends up winning the match on a fluke from it all.
Okay, I like that. It's a Piper and Hart ring bell situation, right? Or can't quite. He's still your brother, Oos.
Yeah.
All right, next up is a three-way for the United States Championship. Logan Paul, current champion, versus Randy Orton versus Kevin Owens. First of all, Logan Paul, I'm still mad. Like, every time we talk about it, I'm still mad that he's, like, so good at this. Like, because he's such a douche, and, like, he has contributed nothing but bad to the world through his social media horse shit. But, God damn it, he's good at this.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's gross. I don't like it.
It is gross. Is this his third WrestleMania match at this point, too?
At least. He had one against Roman. Oh, that was a Royal Rumble. He had one against Ricochet. There was another one.
He was in the tag match with The Miz at a WrestleMania, right?
Yeah, that was the first one, I believe, right?
Yeah, and then the next WrestleMania, he wrestled somebody, and now he's at this one. So.
And he did something in one of those Saudi Arabia ones, I'm pretty sure.
If I remember correctly. Yeah.
Anyway, I think he keeps the belt, honestly. He's too good.
Since they put this in a three-way, yeah. If it was just him versus Kevin Owens, which is what I really want to see, I could see them possibly taking the belt off of him and putting it on Kevin Owens.
Yeah. I mean, Randy Orton's been on a nice run since he came back from injury. Everybody was super pumped to see him. I mean, he's been looking good. He's gigantic. I don't know how he got so gigantic. I have some guesses, but I'm not going to say that. But I don't see it. I don't see this as a logical step for him. So.
Yeah. I guess. He's just in there as fodder. This is like 10, 15 years ago when they would just throw Kane into a match. Now it's Randy Orton that they do that to. So, why is Randy Orton in this match at all?
Yeah, I don't know. It's a good question. They had a thing at Elimination Chamber, I think. Who knows? So maybe, here's what happens. Either Randy costs Logan the belt, and it goes on Kevin, right? And then Logan and Randy have a feud for a while. And then once he gets past him, he goes back at Kevin. That's my guess.
Yeah, because, I mean, Logan's had this belt for a while, though.
Yeah.
And so it's hard to, like, really, they're going to give Logan Paul a really long title reign? And honestly, it already kind of is.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
But it's also, like, one of the least meaningful belts, right? It's, like, it's just a shade above the 24/7 title, really.
Yeah, because, like, I mean, Austin Theory had that belt before him, right? Something like that.
Yeah. Now he's tag-teaming with Grayson Waller and some kind of schmoz.
Right, when everybody was like, he should be the next guy. And here he is, just buried in the bottom card. But, hey, he's on WrestleMania and I'm not, so there we go.
Good for him.
Right. I don't know. This one's kind of tricky just because it seems like there's nothing on the line at all, even though there's a championship. But, like,
yeah,
I don't know. I don't know. Kevin Owens and Randy Orton are both former world champions, and here they are fighting Logan Paul in a triple threat for the U.S. championship at WrestleMania.
The only thing that would have made it worse is if they threw a ladder in there.
Oh, God.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, you heard it here first.
Logan Paul keeps it.
Okay. That's fair. Next up. This might be a good one. Gunther is the Intercontinental Champion. He's defending against Sami Zayn. Mm. Sami is a guy who's had a lot of popularity in the past, but has cooled off a bit. He looks like a hobo. Like, he doesn't look like an athlete, but he really has a lot of enthusiasm. We'll give him that. I think Gunther's going to beat the ever-loving shit out of him. I think they're going to have a really fun match. I think Gunther keeps his belt.
Yeah, I can't.
Can you imagine Sami Zayn beating that guy? Like, I don't know.
I could see him stealing one because, like, maybe Ilya Dragunov shows up or something like that and screws around with Gunther. I could definitely see Sami Zayn getting a good Intercontinental title run. Sami Zayn is the type of person that I would probably have to dethrone Gunther at this point. Is it time to dethrone Gunther, though? That's the real question. And all I know is that Sami Zayn's chest is going to be bleeding horribly. That thin, pale white skin that man's got is going to just turn red and then purple and then just start bleeding through his hair follicles and pores. It's going to be horrible.
I think there's an actual chance that we see the inside of Sami Zayn's pectoral muscle before this match is over.
Yeah. Like, his chest might cave in.
They're going to be able to do open heart surgery on him without having to cut anything.
Yeah, it's going to be bad. I am excited for this match.
Yeah. Gunther is so good. He's our legit superstar. I'm sort of intrigued by the idea of Ilya coming out here because he's somebody that I've really watched and enjoyed in NXT. He's somebody that had just a couple of absolutely phenomenal matches with Gunther. I don't know. If that happened, I might not need Cialis anymore. I'm just like, I'd be so excited.
Yeah, I mean, I'd also be kind of...
Hold on to your grannies.
Maybe Bron Breakker showing up during that match too. Mm. I know he's an NXT mainly guy, but he is conspicuously absent from this card, and it would be a heck of a time to move him up to the main roster.
Yeah, I agree. Wonder if there's anybody who could slay the monster that is Gunther. That'd be good old Rex Steiner.
Yeah. I think Gunther's gonna retain through this one, but it might be shady. Like, kind of like Sammy gets kind of screwed over by someone on the outside.
Okay. All right. I think Gunther keeps it in a clean but brutal win. Hmm. So, next up, this should also be a really good one. Rhea Ripley versus Becky Lynch. So these two have been, Becky especially has been feuding with Nia Jax lately, and she's somehow not been permanently paralyzed by those interactions. So she's still got a week yet. Hopefully she's still walking by the time WrestleMania gets here. But two people that really are just phenomenal athletes, really good storytellers, lots of personality, both do great promos. This could be another like match of the night contender.
Yeah, this could also steal the show. This is also a possible show stealer. It depends, you know. Becky Lynch can either be really on or really off. That's really the thing. And I think hopefully she's on, and I think she actually takes the belt from Rhea Ripley.
Oh, okay.
Rhea's had the belt for a long time at this point, right? Last WrestleMania, right?
She has, yeah.
Yeah, so she's had it for over a year. So, and Becky Lynch had that big dramatic comeback and all that good stuff. So, yeah, I think Becky Lynch is on the money train here.
Yeah, Yeah, because right, because Rhea went wall to wall at Royal Rumble last year, right, and then went to WrestleMania and took the belt. So yeah, people are excited about Becky being back. I enjoy her. I enjoy her promos more than her wrestling, to be honest. But yeah, I'm with you. I think we get a switch there.
Yeah.
The other women's championship, that was the Women's World Championship. This one is the WWE Women's Championship, which is, I guess, the bigger of the two.
Keep it straight.
I know.
Keep it straight.
Those aren't substantially different. As Io Sky, who has the belt right now, versus her former teammate, Bayley. You know, Damage Control is kind of turned on Bayley, and we're just kind of mean-girling her. So her feelings were hurt, but she's shook that part off. She's ready to fight. What happens here? I don't know.
And what, Bayley just went from won the Rumble from number 3?
Yeah.
Right?
She was in a long time.
She put on a hell of a performance, a very Ric Flair-esque style of Rumble win, working sneaky, working smart, lots of rests, taking a beating in that match. You don't have someone from the 3 spot win the Royal Rumble to then just lose to someone with less notoriety than you at WrestleMania, in my opinion.
Yeah, I agree. And Bayley's been kind of toiling in this Damage Control nonsense for a little while. Actually, a long while now. I think it's better to bump her back up to a main spot. I think she's one of the 4 or 5 folks, women in the company who really have the skill and the speaking ability to kind of be a solo.
Yeah, I loved all the shots that she takes at Michael Cole. Those are just beautiful.
Fuck Michael Cole.
Yeah. But no, I like Bayley in this one. I like Bayley being done with the whole Damage Control stuff because she's the biggest name in all of Damage Control. So let's just move it up and then move on to Bayley, you know, facing maybe having Bayley versus Bianca Belair again. Like, get Bianca back up there, or Bayley versus Naomi, Bayley versus Nia Jax. Just move her up and out.
Yeah, agreed. I thought of Bianca as well as a potential next matchup for her. That'd be good stuff. Okay, so those are the matches that we don't have a night for yet. Let's go to. We're going to deal with the top of the card.
Well, why don't we look at the predicted match?
Oh, which one's that?
CBS thinks is going to have happen. And that's the Kabuki Warriors, Asuka and Kairi Sane versus Bianca Belair and Naomi.
Oh, I missed that one somehow. Where did that go?
It's all the way at the bottom.
Oh. I don't know. I don't care.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean.
Is that fair? Oh, yeah, okay, I see it.
Yeah, because we threw out Bianca's and Naomi's names there.
Yeah.
Asuka is in there and stuff like that. So if this match happens, and CBS predicts that it will, let's see Bianca and Naomi go over, but maybe Jade Cargill does show up at this point, because that's a name, you know, that's missing from this as well, beyond Bron Breakker. It's also Jade Cargill, big muscle lady who had a huge pop when she stared down with Bianca Belair at the Royal Rumble. And now, why are we not getting a Bianca versus Jade Cargill at WrestleMania match? Even if it's during the pre-show. Like, why is that not happening?
Yeah, she's definitely been circling around WrestleMania here, and lots of media rumors and stuff that she's going to show up. That's a good call. I think Bianca and Naomi go over there. All right, cool. Let's see. So night one, one of the two big matches is Cody Rhodes and Seth Rollins versus The Rock and Roman Reigns. So the deal with this one, if you haven't been following along, is that if Cody and Seth beat The Rock and Roman, then Cody gets his shot at Roman the next night without any interference from the Bloodline. They'll be banned from ringside. And then, because that was the problem last year, that's been a problem he's had all along, is that every time he starts to get somewhere, the other Bloodline guys come in and mess up his spot. So they need to win this one just so that Cody has a clean shot at the title the next night, and he can finish his story, for the love of fucking God, so we can stop hearing him say, finish the story. What do you think?
Well, I mean, if Cody and Seth win this, then they have an easy out of keeping the belt on Roman by having Solo Sikoa jump in the ring, night two, cause chaos and a disqualification for Roman Rhodes. Roman Reigns. Roman Rhodes, Jesus Christ. for Roman Reigns.
It's a third Rhodes brother, Roman Rhodes.
I mean, that's a hell of a good name.
All roads lead to Rome, just saying.
Hell yeah.
The merging of the two most powerful families in restaurants, wrestling.
We're doing great.
Yeah, no, this is fantastic. I need more or less cold medicine. I'm not sure which. The NOIs and the Rhodes together, you know, just they need what they need is like a wedding. They need a diplomatic wedding. Bring these two houses together.
That's what we need. And then it'll just be the Red Wedding from Game of Thrones, which you never watched, and everybody will die.
Yeah. I got the reference. I'm good.
Yeah. This is a weird one to me. I don't know. Like, this is the type of stuff that they would normally do on, like, the Monday Night Raw before WrestleMania. But now that WrestleMania is two nights, they need something to do. I think Cody and Seth win this. And that sends, you know, the Bloodline to the back. And that really gets you going, man, Cody's finally going to dethrone Roman Rhodes. So I think that's where the story goes.
You just said it again, Roman Rhodes.
Damn it.
That was great. Yeah, so here's... If they don't win, then that sets up a really, maybe potentially fun situation where a bunch of people could interfere on Cody's behalf too, right? Because, you know, it cuts both ways.
Yeah.
I don't know. It could be a whole fucking deal. I don't know. I thought he would... So... Win or lose, my main concern here is that Cody is somebody who has had a habit of getting hurt, and so has Seth, actually. And both of these guys are going to have a high-energy, high-stakes match on night one and then be expected to come back for night two. So either real or kayfabe hurt, you might have a problem there.
Does anybody know The Rock's schedule? Like, is The Rock going to be able to be at both nights of WrestleMania? I think that's going to be the tell of who wins this one. All I can think about is it's like poor Solo Sikoa, who still doesn't get an actual WrestleMania match, but just is there to interfere. Like, that's all he does. I feel bad for the guy. Give him a match. Give him something.
I don't know if I've actually seen him wrestle. I mean, he's come out and thumb spiked people a bunch of times, but I don't know if I've actually seen it. I have to look and see. I'm sure he's done a couple, at least tag matches, right?
Yeah. I think Cody and Seth win because then the story can be there's nothing that's going to stop. There's nothing. Cody can't blame anybody else if he loses.
Yeah.
And so it puts the whole world on his shoulders, and that's the kind of thing that they've been constantly doing with his story anyway, that everything is riding on him. He is the last hope for the Rhodes family of winning the WWE World Championship. He is it. This is it. And now, you know, if he can win this match, he will have no other excuses. He can't be like, well, Solo Sikoa jumped in the ring and beat me up, even though he wasn't supposed to be there. And then someone threw a rubber chicken at me.
You and a goddamn rubber chicken.
God, I hope that rubber chicken is back this year. I hope I hope there's like 20 copycats, too, that all throw rubber chickens in the ring after the main event.
It's just weird. There's also... there's a... a rumor going around that, or maybe, I don't know if it's so much a rumor, it's just wishful thinking that Dustin will show up to help Cody. But I'm pretty sure he's still under contract. I know he's on his, like, last ride or whatever you want to call it over there in AEW.
Yeah, I mean, he's been tweeting shit, though.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. Can you imagine if he... Okay, so let's play this out. So Cody and Seth lose, right? The Bloodline is allowed to interfere. They're whooping up on Cody in night two. And here comes fucking Goldust out of the back. Full on costume and face paint. Crotchless pants. Dustin's hog swinging in the breeze. Just goes laying the wood to people.
That would be incredible.
Yeah.
He's always been one to really sell the beat up and the look good doing the fights, the unscheduled looking fight stuff. So that would I would be all about that. I would fully support that. So
all right. So the other one of the other big events happening, this one's night two now, is the World Heavyweight Championship with Seth Rollins and Drew McIntyre. Seth has the belt again. These guys have been going at it on the mic lately, and now this past week, CM Punk got in the mix, resulting in maybe some of the best televised wrestling I've watched in a long time. We were chatting about this, so it was the Raw episode for Monday, March 25th, and it opened with Cody, and then The Rock came out, and they got into it, and then there were some throwaway matches, and then it was Punk and Drew and Seth all interacting, and it was like it was an hour and a half of just really compelling TV. I was blown away. Like, you don't expect the Raw to be that good anymore. It's right. Like, it's like if you suddenly turned on like an absolutely incredible new episode of Saturday Night Live, you'd be like, what the fuck is happening? You just kind of watch it out of habit, and you don't really expect it to be
right
good. You definitely don't expect it to be great. And I thought what they were doing was great, so I'm kind of excited to see this one. I don't know. Is Drew going to take the belt? Seth's been pretty hot.
Yeah, I mean, they're trying to reestablish that title, right? And I think having it change hands at its first WrestleMania, it might not be a good call. I don't know. But I don't feel like Drew McIntyre's getting any more pushes either. I don't I know they gave him a new contract, but I just don't feel like he's got that pizzazz that he had ages ago, that real push. I have if anything, CM Punk causes him the title. He has Seth in the position and CM Punk comes down. And that sets up CM Punk versus Drew McIntyre at Payback or whatever. Cause, or Backlash, whatever they call it.
Backlash, that
next,
yeah.
That next premium live event.
WrestleMania Part 2.
Because that's the story that everybody actually cares about, is CM Punk and Drew McIntyre. The Drew McIntyre making that whole line of hate t-shirts on on him is this incredible. So
he had a good line on Monday. He said, I've never had to put another man's name on my shirt to sell merch.
Yeah, that's pretty hilarious.
I thought it was pretty good. Yeah, I hope they let Punk come out and do commentary on this one. They were talking about that on Monday. I think Punk is, you know, he's just so talented on the mic. I love listening to that guy. And he's like, he's a raconteur, right? He's a guy who's like, he's full of shit, but he's also like telling you the truth at the same time. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, and it's that line with him that I think is just really endlessly fascinating. Some guys lean into it too hard the one way or the other way, and he's just like right down the middle, and it's like, it's perfect. So, I agree. Seth keeps the belt. He's more interesting long-term, in terms of other potential matchups and stuff. And then Punk and McIntyre can feud once Punk's back from his shoulder. Because McIntyre's the one that knocked him out in the first place at the Royal Rumble.
I just, you know, I am also a big lover of Seth Rollins and his whole, like, chaos persona and the outrageous outfits. He looks like he's on the runway in Paris. He's always at New York Fashion Show, it looks like, and I love it. He is over the top, and I actually kind of hope that meme comes true, that on the first night, Seth Rollins comes out dressed in The Rock's original ring gear. That would be incredible. He comes out as Rocky Maivia. That would be spectacular and incredible and just the best. But I also just want Seth Rollins to come out in his own blown up, insane Fashion Week kind of outfit as well. I want both somehow.
Yeah, his wardrobe always looks like it was designed by like Andy Warhol on mushrooms or something.
So. Right, it's going to be hilarious. It's going to look like you have like the Mad Hatter and Homeland coming to the ring together on that first night of WrestleMania.
It'll be fun. All right, so we're ready for the main event, night two. Roman Rhodes versus Cody Reigns.
Yes.
That's the rematch. We've been waiting a whole year for these guys to go at each other again. The Rock got in the middle there. Okay, so first question is, was that whole thing with The Rock where it was going to be The Rock versus Roman and then the fans fought back? That was a work, right? Like, that they never had,
it had to be.
They never had plans to make Rock the main event.
The entire thing had to always be a work. You throw out that fake main event because, I mean, the road looked too clear for Cody, right? And so you needed to have some sort of logistical interference in there just to fuck with him and with the fans. Like you can't just have it. You just can't be like plowing right on through. Well, look, here comes Cody again. Like it was too obvious. And so you had to do something to obfuscate it a little bit. So you needed to. So of course you have it time out with Rock buying interest in TKO and then make it look like he's putting himself in the main event at WrestleMania after he bought the stock, and then he just whoops up on Cody. And like, and I think they also did a good job that kind of made it feel like, well, this is just a ploy so that Roman would keep the belt longer too. Like it's another safety. Like Roman will just or The Rock will just lay down for Roman at WrestleMania and take the pin because it doesn't matter to him and keep the belt for another eon, right? So
yeah,
I think this was some brilliant storytelling to make it compelling into WrestleMania because people were kind of bored and tired of it.
Yeah, and it also, the other thing that I kind of liked is it sort of let them establish or reestablish Triple H as kind of like the authority and also the guy, the good guy, right, who's on the side of Law and Order, you know, because he steps in eventually and he's like, look, you know, The Rock may be a member of the board, but I'm the one who calls the shots around here, and it's setting him up in opposition to the ousted leadership who was, you know, just gross and evil. So I think that's kind of an interesting, it's almost a rebrand in a way.
Yeah, and it kind of makes like a good like storytelling on multiple levels, right? Because we already have this, like, you have Triple H, a former champion, The Rock's a former champion, they're both out of the game now, and you have Roman Reigns, who's just been steamrolling through for the past couple of years as champion, and they're all established as legacy. Like Roman has been telling this long story of like he comes from a chain of champions with like Rikishi, Yokozuna, Peter Maivia, all the way back, right? And you got the same, and The Rock is kind of tied into that because The Rock is part of that bloodline as well. And so it's kind of this long, long-term storytelling by tapping into the previous generation's champions, which is clever as hell. And so you have the old generation interfering in the new generation's shit because, like, Cody and his brood never got their hands on the world championship. Dustin and Dusty both came so close, but they just couldn't get there. And so, you know, now it's Cody's time to rise. But you needed The Rock to step in and be like, no, 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 no. It's still, we're the bloodline. This is, it's, if Roman needs to have a baby and he can be, have an heir and pass the belt down to him and like kind of stuff. So it's good storytelling. It's good, like, using the families not just as factions but as like actual houses almost. It's almost like Bonfire of the Vanities kind of stuff here.
Capulets and Montagues, well, yeah, and the other thing it does is it brings maybe old fans back to the fold, right? People who are like, well, I haven't watched wrestling in 20 years, but I know who The Rock is, right? Or I know who Dusty Rhodes is, and oh, that's his kid, that's cool. Or I remember Goldust from the 90s, that's cool. I watched his brother do this, you know, and all of a sudden you've maybe got a next, next generation or a previous generation that may have wandered away. I think this thing's going to break all kinds of records for whatever, because like they've been on such a hot streak in terms of their programming and their merchandising and all this stuff, and I think it's just gonna blow up.
WrestleMania 40 is going to be a huge cash cow for them.
Yeah.
But yeah, you have, and like it's not just The Rock that's come back. It is heel Rock. It is the good Rock, the Rock that everybody came to love and enjoy. Being a giant asshole and prick to everybody, and being offensive and not caring about stuff. It's almost like the Stone Cold version of Rock, which is what everybody really liked. It wasn't, you know, he showed back up in the, like the $500 silk shirts, and you know, he wasn't like, we just watched WrestleMania 30, and that was good guy Rock coming back to talk to the crowd. You know, that wasn't The Rock who's there to whip ass and call you a candy ass, you know, Rudy Poo candy ass, you know, do you like pie Rock? And that's who we have now. And that's the guy that everybody really liked. And so it's really, really good. This has been juicy stuff. And so all that being said, if The Rock is done after WrestleMania, then Cody wins. If The Rock is going to stick around, then Roman Reigns wins, but is like on a, in a weird limbo place. And, you know, there's people that's been like analyzing the film that The Rock is going to turn on Cody, or not on Cody, but turn on Roman. And I could certainly see that, because The Rock is always in it for himself. This character of The Rock always is in it for himself. And so I could see that happening. But I don't know. I think if you don't put the belt on Cody at this WrestleMania, you're never going to, first of all. And second, you're going to crush this WrestleMania crowd. You are going to suck the air out of them. Like Brock Lesnar beating The Undertaker at WrestleMania 30. It's going to be a similar moment. It's going to be similar energy. It's like, how does this happen? How is this going to work? You know, because I think the audience, while the audience still responds well to Roman Reigns as a heel, they're tired of watching him as the champion.
Yeah, it's been a bit of a long, boring stretch with him, honestly. Some of the dynamics of the bloodline and, you know, whether they're going to stay together or split apart, some of that stuff was actually like legitimately interesting and I thought a little bit compelling. But it hasn't been fantastic. And I know maybe I'm old fashioned, but I do like to see the champion wrestle occasionally. I'm not sure. I think Cody has to win. I think he has to do it cleanly. But I don't know what happens next, because I don't, maybe The Rock, not The Rock, maybe Roman, like, takes some time off, or maybe he, I don't know. Maybe he gets so furious at all of his people, he, like, splits up and goes through some emotional crisis. I don't know
he
what
happens. He gets bangs.
Yeah, he gets bangs. He starts wearing eyeliner. But yeah, I don't know. You gotta put a pin in this at some point, and I think this is the spot to do it.
Yeah, because I mean, we were so certain last year that Cody was going to win it, and he didn't, and I threw my phone. And this year, I am less certain about it. So good job, WWE. I really like.
Yeah.
You know, because the thing is I don't think Cody's going to be a very good champion, and I don't think he's going to stay champion for very long if he wins it, because he is far more compelling in the chase than he is as a belt holder.
But maybe you use him to put over the next guy that you want to get to that level, you know, like, because he can do
someone,
that.
Yeah, someone steals one from him or something like that at SummerSlam, you know.
Yeah, because he can sell his ass off. He can talk, obviously. People really want to see him as a good guy, right? And so you use him to put over your next monster heel, whoever that is, whether it's Braun Breaker, whether it's Gunther bumping up from the Intercontinental to the main title. Maybe he beats Seth Rollins after this and we reunite the belts again, and then we can just go back to not having that fake belt. I don't know.
Yeah.
Well, any other surprises you think have in store? I saw a thing today about Hulk Hogan's going to be...
I mean, they'll show him
doing something. Yeah,
Hulk Hogan's doing an autograph signing at one of the VIP events.
Yeah,
so we should talk about the Hall of Fame.
Well, we should. Yeah. So there's been a few folks announced so far. Let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 people announced so far. That's been about the size of that class lately, right? Like, we may get one more.
It is technically 6, but that's okay.
Oh, right. It's a tag team. Sorry.
Yeah.
Okay. So maybe that's fine. So the celebrity wing, we've got Muhammad Ali, who obviously was a special guest referee at the very first WrestleMania. So that's kind of a nice touch. He was at the Collision in Korea show that we watched not too long ago. Just in the audience. So that's kind of cool.
Yeah.
There's a tag team this time, the U.S. Express. And that, of course, is Barry Windham and Mike Rotunda / Rotundo, who, of course, then was IRS. They were also at the very first WrestleMania, right?
They were.
They lost to the Sheik and Volkov in that. Isn't that right? And then that's
no, I think they took the belts from Sheik and Volkov at that.
Which was the one with just unbelievable heat when those...
Oh, that one, they had incredible heat at that, but yeah. I think they won the belts at that show.
Okay. Let's see, who else here? Thunderbolt Patterson, Claude Thunderbolt Patterson. He was a territory guy from the 60s through the 80s. Frequent champion, I guess, had some important behind-the-scenes role as well.
You know, yeah, he got blacklisted from the NWA territories for trying to start a labor union for the wrestlers. And so WWE claims that is why they're recognizing him, is for his contributions to wrestlers' treatment and stuff.
Sure. Because we all know they're so pro-labor, right?
Yeah.
Women's wrestling champion... Bull Nakano, who was just an unbelievable talent, or she still is. I guess she's still alive.
Yeah.
She wrestled in All Japan, and then she was a champion.
She was WWF Women's Champion.
Yeah. Yeah. She's phenomenal. If you haven't seen footage of her lately, I'd highly recommend.
She is tough.
Yeah. We saw her on one of the shows we watched not too long ago.
Yeah. I think she was on that Collision in Japan show, right?
Oh, yeah. She totally was, wasn't she?
Yeah.
And then, of course, our main man, Paul Heyman, is getting inducted, too, as a manager and color commentator and whatever else he's done over the years. Just an all-around talent, really remarkable guy, starting ECW, which, of course, for better or worse, right? So how do you feel about somebody who's still active getting inducted? You care?
One way or another? I don't care. It's not like they're inducting Roman Reigns into the Hall of Fame at this, right? I mean, that I would be kind of like, well, he's still active and he's still got a title. But like, I mean, Paul Heyman, he's already contributed so much to the wrestling business. He does way more behind the scenes now than what he does on screen. And even when he is on screen, he's freaking brilliant. But he's made so many contributions in the past to, like, you know, from being Paulie Dangerously as a manager in the NWA and WCW and the AWA, and really being a visionary to start to take Eastern Championship Wrestling and turn it into Extreme Championship Wrestling and build such a niche wrestling fandom there in Philadelphia, really taking advantage of the crowd type in Philadelphia to build something like that. You know, he was a color commentator for a decent amount of time on Monday Night Raw, which was incredible. And, you know, he has an impressive list of talent that he was served as manager for. So, like, it says here he was manager, obviously, for Brock Lesnar, The Big Show, CM Punk, Rob Van Dam, Kurt Angle, Steve Austin, Rick Rude, Arn Anderson, Cesaro, Curtis Axel, Ryback, Roman Reigns, and the whole bloodline at this point. And so that is through multiple promotions, but also he was the manager for the Midnight Express. He was manager for the Samoan SWAT team, who became the Head Shrinkers, which is Rikishi and Samu. And, you know, that's the original blood. That's like the second generation of bloodline there, coming from Afa and Sika, right? So Heyman has had his fingers and face in so many big moments in professional wrestling and in so many places, and had such a strong influence that it doesn't matter that he's still technically active to go in.
Yeah, no, he's a lot of fun to watch, and it's really been interesting to see him kind of, I mean, he's always been good, but to see the last 4 or 5 years or so, just, well, maybe not quite that long, 3 or 4 years, just to see him really, like, own this on-screen kind of greasy role. And in the WrestleMania 30 we just watched, where he's managing Brock Lesnar when Brock beats The Undertaker and breaks the streak, that match works in large part because Paul is there in the corner just being as slimy as can be,
right?
And he's a part of the whole package, because Brock's not a talker, right? So you need a guy like that who can go along with you.
Right, we're in an era of pro wrestling where managers and valets are irrelevant, and yet Paul Heyman still makes it work and still makes his character important and still contributes to the action on the outside as a bystander. And I think that's something that should not be overlooked. By his presence is still felt ringside when he's there, even in a time period where people don't have managers aren't part of the story. You know, you don't have managers with competing stables anymore, you know. So I think it's a testament to his genius that he can still make that role work in modern day wrestling.
Yeah, he's great. So I'll be excited. Hopefully they'll play some clips from his speech. Hopefully. I'm sure it'll be masterful.
Yeah.
So that's our preview for WrestleMania 40. We sure hope that you have a chance to watch it. If you you know, have thoughts on our picks, if we get it way right or way wrong, I hope you'll shoot us an email. You can find us on the website, of course, at thewrestlingarchives.com. You can find us on Podbean and all your other favorite podcast sites and apps and thingamajiggies. You can check us out on the social media, Facebook and Instagram, among others. You can, of course, always donate to support the show at ko-fi.com/thewrestlingarchives. And if you're into merch, Rich has a very super cool Wrestling Archives logo t-shirt on tpublic.com/thewrestlingarchives. Any other last thoughts about promotional, shameless self-promotion and or WrestleMania 40?
No, but I mean, I think this one is shaping up to possibly be a good WrestleMania.
Yeah, I'm excited.
I mean, I'm always optimistic for these WrestleManias every year. You know, I'm always optimistic, always excited. So,
yeah, I still don't think it needs to be two nights. That's why I'm just going to end with that.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Well, in that case, we're going to wrap up so that you can go watch WrestleMania 40 this weekend. Have a good time. Get your favorite snacks. Be safe. Don't drink and drive. You know all that stuff. So for now, I'm your co-host, Tim.
And I'm your co-host, Rich.
And we'll see you next time, everybody.